Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to the five-year-old that is Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Natalie. And today on the show, we're getting a bit arty as we talk to Coates and Scary.
Plus, they're often called the gay Oscars. Mary's been finding out all about the Iris Prize. And remember, it's almost last chance to vote for Shout Out in the National Diversity Awards. All that coming today right here on Shout Out. Hello, team.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Are we all recovered?
Oh, yes.
How do we feel being five?
joyful.
It was good, wasn't it? Did you enjoy the party?
It was tense for that one.
Very,
hour,
very
I thought.
Tense. Yes, very, very fraught, very tense. But it was lovely. So many people came and joined us.
Yeah, and it worked really well.
It
yes.
did?
Yes.
Yeah. Steph was driving the desk?
Yes. I'm not sure that part worked very well at all, but there you go.
It was fine. It was lovely. I was really, really pleasantly surprised because I thought, you know, being so early, being on air at 7, we go live and there'd be lots of people arrive at 8 after we've finished and the like because of work. But we started the show and there must have been 50, 60, perhaps even 70 people in the club, I'm not sure. There was a lot of people.
It was nice and busy and they were all having a great time.
All having a wonderful time. So, a real day of emotion even for me. I laughed and even cried, I have to admit.
Bless.
Do you want to know why, though? There is a very good reason. I'm very pleased to say on the door we raised £114.
Woo!
And the reason I cried is because the shilling then doubled it.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah.
Which was really sweet of them. So we now have all the money we need to be able to broadcast from Pride for the day, pay for the transmitter, and there will be some left over, which will be great. So it's been wonderful. And it was really sweet because he came up to say, you know, he came up with this bundle of money. And I went, oh, no, that's not for us. We've already got the money from the door. He said, no. He said, you know, you guys are wonderful. We want to do our bit and help out. So we want to double your door takings. Here you go. And that was it. I was just gone.
huge thank you to Paul at the Queen Shilling.
Yes, a huge thank you to them. And also to all the other sponsors as well. Chin Chin, The Retreat, The Palace.
The Palace.
Who else?
I should know, I was giving out
you
the prizes.
Were giving them out. Chin Chin, The Palace, The Retreat. It's on the wall there, look. Chin Chin, The Retreat, The Palace, and of course the Queen Shilling. Yes, that's right.
And Pride.
And Pride, yes. So that was really funny as well. Did you notice that the prize before, the Darren won a prize, he won a £5 Amazon voucher.
Yeah,
but the prize
was
before
close.
His was for a 3-day pass to Pride, which would have been hilarious if we'd have been given Pride, a ticket to Pride.
You would have probably put that back in the hat.
Yeah, I think you would have done, don't you? But yeah, no, it was all good. So.
Oh, yeah.
So a few more weeks, and hopefully this sunshine carries on. We're going to have a gorgeous Pride. So.
Yeah, don't forget your sun cream.
No. Yes. No. Yeah, I forgot it at the weekend and burnt my forehead.
Did
That's
you?
What reminded me.
Yeah, it was my dad's 70th birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. And I was down there and completely forgot it was really sunny. Next day, I was like, ow, my forehead.
Yeah, no, that's what reminded me. It sort of glow. I thought it was the on-air light glowing, but...
Oh, thanks, yeah. I love you too, Natalie.
He's now going to cut my microphone off, isn't he?
So, anyway, yeah, no, prize few weeks away. Darren's coming on the show in a few weeks, so hopefully we can, like, find the lineup and what's going on and all of that, which would be great. So, but yeah, once again, from all of us here at Shout Out, a huge thank you to everyone who came and joined the birthday, and those of you that didn't, that were listening along at home, we hope you enjoyed it too. Thank you for celebrating with us.
And happy, well, we can't say happy fifth now, can we?
Yeah, we can.
Oh, okay.
How long have you been there?
Five
plus one.
Yeah, five plus, 1 week. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Thursday wasn't technically our birthday, or would it have been? I'm not sure. I thought it was the 6th we started inaugurating.
Yeah, wasn't it a day out?
It was something like
but
that.
But as we don't
it?
Broadcast any other day but a Thursday.
Except
repeats on various other stations.
Yes. Yes. And big thank you to them as well, because, of course, they all broadcast the birthday.
They did.
And a Pirate Nation as well took us all the way through till about 11, I think.
Yeah,
didn't
we did an H&H all the way through till. I think they took us till 10 o'clock. So
oh,
we've
10,
done
was
an
it?
H&H
okay.
right through
Special.
Till 10.
Yeah, lots of people loving your music.
What's not to like?
I know, yeah.
My suppliers the lovely are staff. Cracking.
So, and even our station manager, Pat, was down with his wife, Sherry.
Yes.
Which is lovely. Came and said hello.
But they did have to leave early because obviously they
kids
had a
or
baby.
Something. Yeah,
they had a babysitter to sort of recover the baby from.
Anyway, enough about our events. It's that time. Yeah, that's like... We got that same issue with one channel on that side of the desk again. So let me do it over here. Where are we? That one. No? Where have I put it? That one. Oh, I'll get there. There we go.
That's in both my ears now.
Yeah, no, it's weird. Yeah. There's obviously something wrong with the desk again.
I don't like it in one ear.
I thought it was just my hearing gone.
The problem is, you see, when you haven't got both sides of the desk, it makes it really difficult to go from one jingle to another, because you have to click stop and then move to the next one and then go. So, but never mind. Anyway, out this week.
Right,
by the lovely Steph. What are we talking about?
Talking about thespians, and obviously being a shout out, we deal with gays and thespians. The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde, I understand was gayer than springtime.
He was, yes, in a time when it was very illegal to be
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
Got in a lot of trouble for it, I think.
He did, yes. Now, The Importance of Being Earnest is a comedy, but this is totally different. Don't expect the same sort of thing if you've seen it before. This is going to be different.
No.
Audience participation, and it's also in steampunk style.
Steampunk style?
Yeah. Did you see the movie Hugh? It was about a kid and an animatronic thing that was... You know the Victorians, how they saw the future?
Yeah.
It is in mechanical stuff like
clockwork.
Oh,
right.
That's
right.
The word, the C
okay.
word.
Yes.
Clockwork.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's in that style.
It's with also, audience participation.
With audience participation. And not only that, the audience actually move around. And it's at the station, which is where Bridewell is, if you don't know where that is.
Right. The old police station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where it's... But they're also... they're moving the audience around. So you've got ushers who actually come in halfway through and actually move the audience to the next area, which I think is good. Now, on H&H Light on Monday... Bless you. Oh, bless you again. It's high...
I turned my mic down so you didn't have to say that.
Yeah, it's very high pollen today.
It is, yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, you can tell. Okay? Next time, shut your mic down.
I did shut my mic down.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, no one knew until you said bless you.
That was a... yes, they did. I heard it quite loud and clear in my headphones. Gesundheit. It's on Wednesday the 17th to 19th of June. It's at the Island Nelson Street, which is the station.
Yeah.
Tickets range from £7.50 to £9.50. We had the lovely Christine Sargent in on Monday on H&H Light. And,
so do you know the story?
Well, there's somebody who pretends to be somebody and he's like two people. There's a bit of schizophrenia going on, I think.
Right. Is there a reason why?
Well, do you want me to do...
Does that give away the story?
It's going to be fun. So I didn't really want to do too much of what it's about, because although it's based on The Importance of Being Earnest, it obviously deviates somewhat.
Well, if it's steampunk rock,
there you go.
and it's the audience that moves.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's going to be really good fun. Now, Christine has said that the tickets are selling really fast, so you need to get in there quick. The website is ticketsource.co.uk. And that's /SPP Theatre Co. Or you can actually phone 0117 977 2882. That's 0117 977 2882. And the website is spptheatrecompany.org.uk. And they've already had write-ups, 9 out of 10 from the Bristol Post.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's quite something from the Bristol Post as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yes. Hello, good evening, Bristol Post.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we mentioned it last week, and we're going to be talking about it a lot next week when everyone's watched it. Orange is the New Black.
Oh, it's back
starts tomorrow.
Netflix. What do? They just release the whole lot all in one go?
They do. You can watch the whole thing back to back. Yeah, the whole series. But of course, there's thunderstorms forecast for the south of the UK.
Right.
So there's no excuse to go out. You need to stay in
unless
and watch it, because there's a little bit of lesbian troilism going on. Won't go too much in depth.
Have you seen any of it yet?
Only previews.
Only previews.
Yeah, I haven't seen the series yet because it's not on till tomorrow.
No, I just wondered if you got press access or something.
I wish I was on Netflix press. Yes, I wish. Maybe next week when they've listened to this, they'll realise how important this show is.
I'm up to date. Are you both up to date? Have you seen any of it?
I've not seen any at all.
None of it.
None.
Oh, Natalie, gosh. You must be the only person on the planet.
Well, I'm too busy watching Air Crash Investigation.
Oh,
dear, I think you said that out loud.
Fair enough.
All right, that's it.
There we go. See, now I have to click stop. There we go. I shouldn't say that out loud, really, should I?
You should. You'll make a good DJ one day, Andy.
Hello, this is Justin Utley wishing everyone at Shout Out Radio a happy 5th birthday.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Cheerleader by Omi, I think is how you pronounce that one.
Yeah, it's quite a cheerful song, that one, isn't it?
It's back in the charts again. So. Well, it's always been in the charts, it's just gone up a bit.
Okay.
So I thought I'd shove it in. It's really hot. It's really hot in here. It's feeling really summery. Yeah. So.
Feeling hot it is.
So now Terry's not here this week.
He's not.
No. I was expecting him to be in, but we got the lovely Ivan and Nathan. Hello, boys.
Hello.
So I'll let you have it then, because of course, like Terry's normally like king of news, isn't he?
Oh.
But I thought after 5 years and the same jingle, it was about time the news team got a present.
Freshening up.
Ooh, yeah. So, okay, here we go.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 11th of June, 2015.
Media watchers have noted that conspiracy theorists opposing marriage equality have been dissecting the successful vote for same-sex marriage in the Republic of Ireland and have been bombarding various newspapers and internet sites with their explanations for the referendum, which will amend the Irish constitution to allow for equal marriage. Conspiracies include that the Irish public were brainwashed by the liberal media to endorse equality, and the various theories have attracted mirth in the gay blogosphere.
Dr. Rosemary Gillespie of the HIV charity Terence Higgins Trust has written to supporters on a very special occasion. If he was still alive today, Terry Higgins would have been 70 years old this week. But, as we all know, Terry was one of the first people to die of AIDS-related illnesses on the 4th of July 1982. Before the acronyms AIDS and HIV even existed, he was just 37. Terry's close friend and THT co-founder Tony Gavelt visited THT London to mark Terry's 70th a little early. One of the stories Tony told was how about Terry always knew he would be famous. He didn't want to be an actor like Tony was at the time, but he knew that he would make his mark in some way. Terry's friends fulfilled that for him, and we're continuing to honour and commemorate Terry with all that we do at the Terence Higgins Trust.
Now, have you ever met someone who opposes equality with the argument that heterosexuality is mandated by nature? Well, the atheist group, the Richard Dawkins Foundation, has some interesting news. Why some critically endangered small-toothed sawfish are reproducing asexually in the wild? The small-toothed sawfish is a member of the ray family, and under normal circumstances, it reproduces sexually, like most other vertebrates. However, in a study published in Current Biology, scientists report 7 instances of juvenile sawfish that appear to be the product of a virgin birth. No dad involved. The researchers were able to tell that these fish were produced asexually because routine DNA tests showed that there was little to no variability in the genetic material of the 7 specimens.
Tracy Byrne, the CEO of the Lesbian and Gay Christian Movement, has been in touch with supporters. She reports that the organisation's new website is nearly complete, but adds that she's putting together the resource section and is keen to have suggestions about books, films, blogs, and other sources that support and encouragement for LGBT people of or exploring faith. She's especially keen to identify resources which speak to the UK context, and if you are able to send a few words about what you found helpful about the items you're suggesting and who might find them most valuable, that would be especially useful. Also this week, a notice of importance for LGBT Roman Catholics. The group LGBT Catholics Westminster are organising a pastoral reflection day this Saturday, the 13th of June in London. To prepare input for the Cardinal Vincents ahead of the second synod on the family later this year. More information is available at lgbtcatholicswestminster.org, but note that registration closes at midnight, Thursday the 11th of June.
Shannon Minter has become the first ever trans man to be appointed to the President's Commission on White House Fellowships. The Commission considers applications for fellowships to the White House, which gives graduates opportunities to work as special assistants to high-level politicians and gain experience of leadership and government. Mr. Minter currently works as legal director at the National Centre for Lesbian Rights, where he has been a key figure in a number of cases related to same-sex marriage. Mr. Minter added that he was honoured to be appointed and thanked the Obama administration for endeavouring to represent all sections of US society.
For all news stories and more, check out the website at shoutoutradio.org.uk.
For Shoutout News, this has been Ivan Jackson
and Nathan Adam.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Do we like?
Oh, I'm loving our new jingle.
Yeah, like.
Very I thought nice. Ivan was going to break out into an ABBA song.
Were you bopping along?
I was, but I haven't got my outfit with me, so it wasn't going to work.
Cool. Well, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to be talking art stuff, but in the meantime, we'll let Ivan have a bop.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Right, now, Ivan's been off exploring.
So I'm in Gallery 8 in central London at a special preview exhibition of the Bristol-based artist Angela Leeson, hosted by none other than Chippy Coates and Richard Scarry. I'm asking people for their thoughts on buying and collecting art. Can you tell me, what does art mean to you?
I think it means something for me that provokes some sort of emotional response.
For me, it's something that will resonate for me from memories through my life, whether that be my childhood, adolescence, or in my adulthood. I look for things that will invoke a response to me, like music does.
It has to hit me emotionally first, I think. If I'm impressed by the presence of a piece, that's important to me. So if something resonates with me, that would make me desire something.
What do you think of the exhibition today? What about all this art that's here
it's
in front of you?
My dream exhibition. I love the artist, so I was very happy that it was at this gallery. She's very talented and it appeals to my own interests. I love kitsch, I love dark, I love cats, which feature heavily.
Now, I'm with the Bristol artist herself, Angela Leeson. Congratulations, Angela.
Thank you.
This solo exhibition is dedicated to your really superb artwork. Can you give listeners at home a brief description of the silent paintings we've got around us today? They're pretty whimsical, aren't they?
I suppose a term that might sum it up is dark kitsch. I think I'm working with very disposable images, the sort of thing that you wouldn't normally give the time of day. Damaged photographs, faded photographs, kittens and puppies, the kind of subject matter that's looked down on in the fine art world.
Now, when you're trying to market your work, what's it like having curators like Rich and Chippy promoting your work?
It's great. They're really good at what they do, and I just hand everything over to them, and they do the lot, and it's brilliant.
Do they take the pressure off you, or are they cracking the whip?
They do take the pressure off. I think there's always something that the next project to work on, which is really good to have something to aim towards. Because they do such a good job, it does take an enormous amount of pressure off me.
So with regards to today, what kind of feedback are you getting from people regarding what you've got on the walls today?
Really good. It's been lovely. I've met so many nice people. I've had good friends coming. And it's been great. I've really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, Angela. And all the best for the duration of the exhibition.
Thank you very much.
And it's over to you guys back at the studio.
Well, I'm pleased to say they're here in the studio with us. Welcome to Shout Out to Richard and Chippy.
Hello.
Hey, nice Hi. To see you guys.
That sounded very busy at that place. That was over in London, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was very busy. It was on Duke Street, which is just down from the Royal Academy, so it's a good central spot.
And
it was
right.
a very busy night.
Cool. Now, I'm going to be clueless here, because art isn't one of my fortes. Give me Photoshop, and that's about the most you get. But what is an art curator?
Well, an art curator is somebody who works in the art world who has an aesthetic and a taste, has a preference and a direction they want art to go, and they use their own kind of history with art and their education and their professionalism, and they kind of use their aesthetic and they put a show together, or they work with artists and help them kind of reach a certain destination with their work.
So how did you get into it? Is art, I presume art, something you've both loved since an early age, am I right? Or
Yeah, it is. We both, Richard used to work in an auction house in Los Angeles, and he was a director at gallery in Los Angeles as well. And I've always been interested in art myself. I actually do draw and paint when I get time. And we kind of, when we met, it was one of our passions. So that's how we got into it, really.
I love that, when I get time. That's the age old, isn't it? Yeah. When you got a hobby, you can get consumed. But I can look at art and I can, I know when something looks nice and the like. But is it just through time and practice that you end up spotting the really good stuff and the really bad stuff? Or is that just subjective and a matter of opinion? Or?
Well, I think, there's a lot of artists out there. There's a lot of very talented people. And when we go out browsing the art shows and the graduate shows, what we try to look out for is something that's really different and has quite a unique voice that we think we can work with and work with our collectors.
So, a lot of people think the art is just kind of like paintings and the like, but it is very much not, isn't it? You were showing me some photos earlier. I think were feathers and the like, weren't they? Which looked absolutely exquisite. We'll have to try and get them on Facebook or something so people can see them. Yeah. But It's more than just paintings and the like, isn't it?
We work in so many different mediums. We have artists who paint, and we have artists who do sculpture. We have artists that do installation work, and we've just come today from the Royal Academy of the West of England on the top of Park Street here in Bristol, and we've been working with an extraordinary artist named Kate McGuire, who does all of her sculpture and all of her work is done with feathers. And I think the largest piece is seven meters, almost 30 feet in length, that's coming out of the wall, but it's kind of... It shows how you can find anything man-made or in nature that's aesthetically pleasing to the artist and create something that creates wonder in somebody else and awe.
So is there sort of other pieces of art that you've sort of had done?
We've worked, we have one photographer that we work for that actually teaches at UWE here in Bristol, a guy named Nick Bright, who does these extraordinary studies, and he gets into the back rooms of all the natural history museums. And he's done extensive work here in Bristol, hasn't he, Chippy, with kind of the Bristol City Museum and going into their archives and recording stuff that we don't usually get to see.
Oh, right. Oh, wow. So it sounds like quite a hell of a collection. How do you decide what's going to go into a particular exhibit? Is it based on the type of art or the type of artists, or do you mix and match? Or?
I think it's a mixture, really. There's lots of criteria which you could look at. There's firstly the aesthetic, I think, and what artists sit well together, what work sits well in the room together. And also, for instance, with we do a lot of art fairs as well, and you put forward a proposal for an art fair, so you have to put a group of artists together that's curated by the people who are on the panel and the committees of those art fairs. So it's a bit of a mixture, really.
Yeah, your logistics must be quite difficult, though, because you were sort of saying earlier you sort of don't just do the UK, you do other places in the world, and you've got to transport these...
And some of them are huge, aren't they?
We have a very good shipper who handles all of the hideous paperwork and
comes
with
lots of bubble wrap.
Yeah, lots of bubble wrap, cling film, and spongy kind of materials to protect all the work. We have a good shipper. They sort everything out for us. So we arrive and there's usually a big wooden box ready for us to unpack and hang.
But the interesting side of that is, as well, is it means that we are actually already scheduled through most of 2016.
Oh, wow.
So we
You have to be that far advanced organized.
We have to. It's not just the artists need time.
Right.
To create work. And even when we do art fairs, whether it be Hong Kong or New York or Miami or in London, we just did Art 15 in London, which was a huge success at Olympia. We always want the artist to kind of create something new. We don't want to take stuff that's in inventory. We want it to be fresh. We want people to be excited. So we kind of, like I said, we're scheduled out through most of 2016 now. And which is kind of crazy for two guys doing it mostly from their dining room. It's that whole new world that we live in.
So if like Natalie decided tomorrow she wanted to start a new art collection, I think you're the same as me, aren't you, Nat? I haven't got a clue about art myself. What kind of advice would you give someone who's interested in like starting a collection? Is there something easy that you can start with and build up? Or
Well, I think the first thing to do is do lots of research. Research the artist. People have particular collections, so some people might collect work from a certain period, or they might collect a certain style of work. We have a collection of very small pieces, which we started building about 6 years ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
But do your research. Don't jump into anything. You know, buy something that you like. Don't buy it because you think it's going to go up in value, because like everything else in life, it can go up and down. And really buy something that you love.
Is it a bit like the fashion world, where there are certain, you know, there's something that's in vogue this year that may not be next year? Does that happen in the art world as well?
But the secret to that is buy quality. And that's what we look for in artists. Anything, whether it be antiquities or furniture or design and art, if you go for something that you feel has an authentic quality to it, it'll usually hold its value. We have pieces in our collection that range, but one of our favorite pieces was we spent the least amount of money on, and it's one of our favorite paintings.
Well, I was going
to
say,
I'd be terrified to know how much.
Do you need to spend an absolute fortune to have a collection of things? Or
you can start small. You can start with prints. A lot of people start with prints or smaller paintings.
Right, and a print, I presume, is cheaper because it's a copy of the original as opposed to the actual original itself.
Well, it depends. If it's an etching, then there's a run of 20 of them. The print itself is the artwork. But then there's also G clay prints, which are G clay print. It is a print from an original painting.
Right, that is just. I find it fascinating because the thing that I still don't get is how you know what's good and what's bad. Because I would look at something and I either like it or I don't. But then I've been, because Ivan had his birthday up at the place you guys come to, and some of the artwork on the walls was absolutely gorgeous and astounding, and had the price tag to match. But there are other bits that I looked at and I just thought, I wouldn't want that in my house at all. It looks awful. But again, they were worth an absolute fortune. Does that mean that I'm no good at picking up what good art is, or is that just because that's my personal taste?
I would imagine it's your personal taste, because I'm sure there is affordable art for everybody as well as expensive art for everybody. I mean, it does depend on your aesthetic and what you're drawn to.
So it is important, if you're going to collect, that there's something you like as well.
I love the way his answer was so diplomatic there, Andy.
you also, you know, you have to wake up to it every day. Hopefully whatever you buy, you're going to hang in your house, and it becomes part of your family and your surroundings, and you kind of...
It's just when you see the extremes, like in London, I mean, I'm going back a few years, there was an artist who made a messy bedroom and tipped an ashtray in the middle of it.
That would be Tracy Emin.
Yeah. And it was worth a fortune, but I can't imagine anyone wanting it in their home.
Okay,
your bedroom looks like that.
You made my bedrooms worth a fortune.
It could be. If we get it into
everybody
the
everybody has one of those messy beds in their lifetime, I think.
But what Tracy Emin did is she took the idea, the concept of the history of her life, and changed that into a dialogue of the unmade bed. So it's the whole conceptual piece around the bed.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing you either buy into that or you don't.
Yeah, I think that's where it completely loses me. But that could just be me. I mean,
no, it's not you. I'd look at that and think, okay, I'd better tidy it up tomorrow.
I do love art. I mean, photography is one of my hobbies, and I do really like a lot of things in the photography world, especially. So, but I mean, the things that you were showing earlier that made out of the bird feathers were just astounding. They didn't look anything like a bird, but they looked exquisite and very almost ornate. They look like vases, some of them, don't they? But they twisted as they went up and things. I'm trying to describe it for the audience. But
you've got to see the pictures.
Yeah, well, the great thing about Kay Maguire's work is they're very visceral, and they're very alive and very seductive and very kind of, they make people feel on edge. You can feel a little uncomfortable with the work sometimes.
Yeah. In fact, rather than see the pictures, you could go and see them live, can't you?
Come see the show.
I was going to say, that was going to be my next question. Are you in Bristol at the moment?
We have a show working with the RWA of Kate Maguire and Peter Randall Page, who's an academician, and that opens to the public next Saturday week.
Oh, brilliant, cool. And let me guess, all on the website, by any chance?
All on the website, all on coatesandscary.com. That's Coates and Scarry.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll also put the link to that on our website as well, because it is one of those that you have to type right, isn't it? So,
and you're going to come to the show, right?
Hopefully, yes. Ooh. That'd be lovely.
Yeah, you're all welcome.
Lovely.
Come. Most welcome.
So I always feel really embarrassed walking around these art places, because I always feel like the complete noob that doesn't know a thing. But it's always fun to go see. So
I'm always worried that I'm going to stand there looking at the vacuum cleaner that someone's left and go, isn't that amazing?
Well, if there's a placard next to it, it's a piece of art. Yeah. If there isn't.
If it's got a price tag next to it, that you're looking at the right thing.
Okay.
So. Listen, guys, it's been wonderful to have you on the show. It's fascinating to get an insight into the art world as well. It's not something we've really covered before, but best of luck with the
thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us on.
And can we book you in 2017 when you're back around in Bristol again?
Yeah, no, we're around more than that. You can have us back again anytime.
Cool. Brilliant.
I would love to.
All right.
Anyway, do stay with us. We're going to be talking about the Iris Prize, or the Gay Oscars, as it's also known, still coming up. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Runaway, you and I. Not you and me, Natalie.
Okay. It's all right.
You got too untidy a bedroom, apparently. You got to sell it first.
Yeah, and Carl would be upset.
That's by Galantis. Again, another one that's in the charts at the moment. So keeping the summer theme going. We ought to do it through to Pride, shouldn't we? So yeah. It makes Ivan bounce up and down. It's great.
It does.
You're quite arty, aren't you?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, you appreciate your art. Your hubby's really arty.
Yes,
isn't
he paints. He paints lots of stuff himself. But you know, he copies things for me. So like, we go to galleries. I say, I want one of those, and he paints it for me.
Does like a Van Gogh or a Mona Lisa. Yes.
That makes it an exclusive to you, yeah, then.
But the bed's been made though, so that's fine.
Oh right, yeah. But you don't have an ashtray tipped in the middle of yours.
No, we can't flog that off. Unfortunately, nobody wants that.
So now, last week at our birthday, I had a quick word with Jane. Do you remember Jane from Pride, who's doing the Queer Vision Film Festival?
Yes, yeah, that was
apparently
fabulous.
It's going really well. Yeah. They had, because we went to the first day, and it was brilliant. Some of the films were absolutely they were all really good. There was one really poignant one, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And then there were some absolutely hilarious ones, and I still loved the zebra that bangs against the.
Yes,
the
I went on day two, and they played that then. There was a bit of crossover.
That was really good. So, it was back in May that the original launch happened. It was at the Watershed, if you may remember. We did talk about it at the time. We had Jane on the show and the like. But Mary managed to catch up with one of the guys from Iris and sent this report.
My name's Berwyn Rowlands. I'm the director of the Iris Prize Festival, which takes place in Cardiff in October. The Iris Prize continues to be the world's largest lesbian and gay short film prize. It's £30,000. Which we award annually to a filmmaker to make another short film. People do refer to Iris as the gay Oscars for short films.
Certainly the ones we've seen today, they're of a quality, aren't they?
Oh, do you know what? As in the early years, we're going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary in 2016, but in the early years, you're very much minded of marketing speak and people say things like the best of the best. And then suddenly, you know, 8 years later, you kind of realise that, it's actually true. And the shorts get in there on merit to compete on the basis that they are examples of excellence in storytelling. Which can be quite difficult because, you know, I'm 48. I'm that sort of last generation, possibly, who expects to go to lesbian and gay film festivals, and there's always the boy shorts and the girl shorts. And then there's the sexy shorts, and then there's the funny shorts. There's the reason for that, plain and simply, you know, it's a shortcut, isn't it, for the audience to find what they think they want. What we've done with Iris...
And to attract an audience as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, as in, I can say with some confidence, we've had to work hard in attracting a lesbian audience to come out and see films at Iris, and our gender balance is equal, so we're quite pleased about that.
It's interesting that you mention that, because one of the things I've noticed about lesbian movies is a lot of the characterisation, it can be quite negative. Even the one that we saw today, we saw Disaster Preparedness. Halfway through that movie, I was thinking, oh, it's another one of those. We've got this kind of, you know, scatty character and this relationship that's going to end. And actually, it wasn't that sort of movie at all in the end. It's clever.
It's very clever. I think the issue with lesbian shorts, if we want to classify them as lesbian shorts, is really to do with gender, and it's to do with power, and it's to do with access to the creative process. I think we waited almost 100 years for a woman to be the recipient of an Oscar for best directing. That's outrageous. That makes no sense whatsoever. And I think it filters down then, because sometimes, you know, people do ask me, well, shouldn't you have a quota, you know, a dedicated quota for, say, lesbian shorts? And we've resisted that, and I still resist it, because without having any quotas, we've managed to find a situation where almost every year, at least a third of the shorts competing are by women. Some who identify as straight, some identify as lesbian, some identify as bisexual or transgender, but they are by women. So I think purely by a process of trust that this kind of worked out.
You're an LGBT film festival. What's your definition of an LGBT film?
We've adopted really what Frameline, which is one of the oldest lesbian gay film festivals on the planet in San Francisco. We've adopted what the industry standards, as we call them. And what you see on the screen probably comes first. So LGBT content on the screen, that would classify it as a gay film. And then, of course, the people who make the film. The reality of the past 8 years with Iris has been that almost, I would say, almost every single short film we've ever screened as part of the festival, LGBT has been on the screen.
There was one about a zebra.
There is, which is a delightful animation.
Everyone loved it, I have to say.
But our outreach programme over the last 2 years has grown and grown and grown, and we're working almost exclusively in secondary schools. But with the film that you mentioned, Zebra, a beautiful short animation about a zebra who has identity issues, and how the identity issues are sort of literally projected onto its body, and how the zebra deals with that, or more importantly, how the zebra and the community deals with that on screen. It's allowed us to actually venture for the first time into primary schools, and we're working with a very charismatic, forward-thinking head teacher in a primary school in South Wales, using Zebra as a pilot to get kids or young kids to start discussing issues of identity.
So brilliant. As I suspected, it's not actually about zebra.
No, it's not. It's definitely LGBT, as far as I'm concerned.
Fantastic. Where else can people see the films, and what's happening this year with the Iris Prize?
Iris 2015 opens on the Wednesday, the 7th of October. It runs for 5 days, which includes 20 feature films. It includes the 30 shorts competing for the Iris Prize, the international prize, which is the 30,000. It also includes the 10 British short films competing for the Best British Award, which is £14,000 worth of support from Pinewood Shepperton. All that happens in Cardiff. It's all public, it's all open to the public. If you're on social media, consider liking our page on Facebook. It's updated daily with lots of bits and bobs and information. We're on Twitter, Iris Prize, or you can visit the traditional website. It's irisprize.org.
My name's Charlie Francis, and I directed a film called Middleman. It won the Best British Short at the Iris Prize in Cardiff last October. It's a light comedy. It's only 5 minutes long. It's about a call centre worker who works for telephone services for deaf people. And it's about him being stuck in the middle of a lover's tiff between two gay guys, one of them who is deaf.
It's great. It's actually very funny. I love the film a lot.
Well, thanks very much. Katie based it on, who wrote the film, got the idea from a friend who worked in the call centre, the real call centre, because this service does actually exist. And he was talking about how he had to transcribe messages that remain professional, but he said people could get quite saucy in their messages.
I was interested, actually, is there a version of that film that's subtitled for deaf people or has got signs?
There is, yep. There's also one subtitled for people who can hear but can't understand the Glaswegian accent as well.
I mean, it's great that there's a film festival and a prize, actually, for LGBT films. Is that special for you?
For me, making the film, I didn't go out to think I must make LGBT films. It appeals insofar as visibility, presenting gay characters in a matter-of-fact way. There's no big deal or hoo-ha about the fact that there's a deaf character in the film or a gay guy. It's done in a matter-of-fact way. I think we're at that kind of stage now. You know, it's been 16 years since Queer as Folk was on the TV, so you'd think we'd moved on from that. I think we have, to an extent, in this country.
As I guess your film, it could have been about any two characters, mm-hmm. any two yeah. people that were romantically linked,
and
couldn't it?
It wasn't until someone brought that up after Iris, saying, you know, it could have been, and I thought, oh, that's a good point, actually.
What was the prize that you won, and what are you going to do with it?
It was with Pinewood Studios, you won £14,000 of post-production sound facilities at Pinewood, which is absolutely massive. So we've just shot a film and we're penciled in to go to Pinewood in the next couple of months. We've got a deadline. I've never really had a deadline before, because you just make your films and you just edit them in your bedroom, but now we've got to press ahead with the edit.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for talking to me, and good luck with the post-production on that movie.
And as well as this year's Irish Prize Festival in October, you'll also be able to see more of those films as part of this year's Pride this coming summer. And hopefully Darren's going to be on the show in a few weeks.
Hopefully. Darren, please come.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see if we can nab Jane and get her to come along and tell us a bit more about the films that are coming up. So, you're listening to Shout Out.
This is Matt Albert.
And this is Aaron Curry.
Happy fifth birthday shout-out.
Shout-out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout-Out Podcast.
Did you go that high? Good Lord.
Did someone just step on his foot?
I don't think it was foot that got trodden on, to be honest.
No.
That's Jason Derulo with Want to Want Me.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I like that one.
It's not caught me.
No.
I've got a remix of it, if you want to have a go at that.
Oh, have you? Is it Handbags Like You or remix?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We'll give that a go. I think it's number one, that one.
You've got remixes of everything, haven't
I know,
you?
Yeah.
Well, some of them you supply.
Oh, well, that's all true. That's true.
But my main supplier supplies them.
All right.
We should point out, it's nothing dodgy, by the way. Steph does Handbags and High Heels, which is another show broadcasting here on BCFM.
Nothing to do with white powder.
You get lots of dance remixes sent to you, don't you? So, it went down really well last week at the birthday, which was kind of cool. So,
yeah.
So now, I have to talk to you all about something really serious.
No, I'm looking at the other screen, it's distracting me.
I've got it up on the other screen, because we're literally a couple of weeks left for nominations. Shout Out has been nominated in the National Diversity Awards, which is huge, absolutely huge. Its sponsors include Microsoft and The Guardian and Barclays, even MI5 sponsor it.
I know, I saw that, that's really odd, isn't it?
The Army, lots of councils, the Open University, Transport for London, just to name a few that you might know, are all sponsors.
It's not just LGBT?
No. We all said that together.
Looking at the pictures and I'm thinking, please will you vote for Shout Out, because Mary may have to wear a dress.
Oh, you'll be lucky.
Really?
That's not going to happen.
It's a black tie event. Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, Mary in a black tie.
Vote for Shout Out and we'll get Mary in a dress. I'd be lucky. She never would. You wait, I'll get a text going off in my pocket like last time. I said never.
You'll have to lend her one of yours, Andy.
So, but no. If you want the correct the direct link to the relevant page, we've made our website point to it. So go to shoutoutradio.org.uk /NDA for National Diversity Awards, and it will take you straight through to the National Diversity Awards website. shoutoutradio.org.uk/NDA. So, it asks you to put a little bit of text into why you want to vote for us, and then it asks you for your name and email to verify that you are who you say you are. So
would the bit of text, if you put to make Mary wear a dress, be
I
it?
Don't think that would qualify.
Oh, okay.
So, but we would really, really appreciate your nomination if you would do. The final thing is actually done with judges, so it's only the nominations round that you can get involved with. And there's a couple of weeks. It closes, what does it say? It's
21st, is it?
Yeah, something like that. It's in a couple of weeks. So, it really, really would appreciate it if you would be so kind.
Well, we certainly tick the diversity checkbox, don't we?
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes. Just a tad. Look at us all. It's
yeah.
What a diverse bunch.
Oh.
So, but we love you all.
So. Yeah, that's it. I want Andy to actually have to wear a dickie bow.
I can't remember the last time I did a black tie.
I bet you scrub up really well, Andy.
I try. Apart from when it's really hot and you get all sweaty.
What do
you
mean, like now?
It's on the 18th of September, the actual final thing. So it'll be a little bit cooler, won't it?
Oh, when's the closing date again, Andy?
The nominations close on the 21st of June.
Right, okay.
But we actually find out on the 18th of September, so...
Ooh.
So not far away.
I'll have no nails left.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Once again, a huge thank you to all of you who celebrated our birthday with us last week.
But please do vote for us, because it would really mean a lot. Shout out radio. www.theshoutout.org.uk NDA for the National Diversity Awards. Thank you, Steph.
Top plate. Come on. We'll be back next week. I think I'm broadcasting with Matthew, and we're doing all about men's health next week. But I could have got that completely wrong. And Mary shouting at the screen. Never mind. We'll be back next week. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.